Well, today is part six in our series that we're doing on marriage, part six in this series. You know, the progression that, again, that I've also made the title is love, friendship, love, marriage in the middle, love, death, love. We're making this progression. We've been laying down the roles from creation in this last three sermons, including today. You know, ultimately, this series is about love. I'm going to mention that and continue to mention that. It is about love because God is love. And we want to figure out how we can show the type of love that God the Father and Jesus Christ would want us to show within our relationships. Marriage can be successful. I'll continue to mention this as well. Marriage can be very happy. God intends marriage to be wonderful. But marriage is not without its challenges, as I've said, because I as a human being, is not without my challenges, without my sins. And sins cause problems. Sins cause problems within the marriage. Well, today is part six of the series. You know, at the end of part five, I mentioned that we would need to look at the meanings of the woman, two roles of the woman, being helper, and also that word comparable to her husband. I'm going to leave the role of helper along with the role of head, these two titles. The title that God has given women is helper. The title that he has given men is head. I'm going to leave those to part seven. I'm not going to address those today because there's a particular aspect of this word comparable from the eyes of the woman that I really want to delve into today to make sure that we understand. And we've discussed many different characteristics and roles of the man and the woman in the context of them being husband and wife. I also want to mention that these characteristics that we have covered just don't apply to individuals who are married. They don't. These are godly characteristics that God placed within and expected from Adam and Eve prior to them becoming husband and wife. All of the characteristics that we've looked at so far are characteristics before they have become husband and wife. So I hope that our teenagers, our young adults, our singles, as well as anyone else here who may be unmarried, as well as all of our married couples have been paying attention. Because all of these are godly characteristics that God expects, whether we are going to be or choose to be married or not, or have been and maybe are not married at this time. These are characteristics that God wants to see in all of us. You know, I provided a handout summary in the email that I sent out last night here locally. I'll post it online as well. I have a few copies in at the back table there. Going over the characteristics that the roles that we've covered so far. And as I mentioned in my email, that this will likely be the last part to this series prior to the Feast of Tabernacles, because God would want us to begin to shift, to begin to speak meat in due season. And Feast of Trumpets is only 4 weeks away. Next thing you know, we're there. It's incredible. So this will be the last part of the series that I'll cover before the feast. But let me just read through so far the roles that we have covered. Again, we have a handout out back on the back table, also sent it out via email. Let me just go through these roles that we've covered so far in this series. First of all, as we began with, there are joint roles. The image of God, the likeness of God, these are roles, the dominion over the earth. And additional roles that both husband and wife have are blessings, being fruitful, multiplying, filling the earth, and subduing it. And then we looked at the roles of the male. The roles of the male, large categories, to tend, to keep, and to obey. That word tend means to work, to serve, to worship, to be burdened. If you are married, the burdens and responsibility of carrying those burdens largely lie upon the husband as his responsibility to find a solution for, to be burdened, as well as to cultivate. That word keep means to keep or to cause a state or condition to remain, to be kept, to keep oneself. It also means that word keep means to guard, to watch, to protect, to secure. Number three, to observe, to obey a command with diligence and in detail. These are things that God has given the male the primary responsibility to as roles. Number four, to be careful, to beware, to pay attention, to make sure, to watch oneself. Number five, to care for, to attend to take care of an object, to take care of his spouse. Number six, to revere, to cling to. We also mentioned that the husband's responsibility is to enable the avoidance of loneliness, and then, of course, to obey God. We went through the female's roles. The three primary female roles that we've covered so far was goodness, avoid loneliness, and to obey God. That word goodness breaks down into these five additional roles that we covered. Number one, to be good, to be better, to be in a state of having proper characteristics or performing an expected function to do well. Right? Part of her characteristic is to do well. Number two, to be prosperous, to have favorable circumstances and lack of trouble in life, implying the accumulation of many possessions, to make prosper. As we mentioned last time, oftentimes within the family, it is the wife who manages, you know, the income and the finances and how things are spent and what things need to be taken care of within the household. Her responsibility. Number three, to be beautiful, to have a good, lovely appearance. Number four, to feel good, to have a mental feeling of well-being. By and large, the wife has that role to try to be more positive than often the husband may be. And number five, to be pleasing, to be good in the eyes, to have a fondness and a pleasure at the events or at a person, to be pleasing. And then, of course, we covered to avoid loneliness and to obey. We then went to this word comparability, comparable. And last time we covered what it meant in part four, we covered what it meant for the man to be comparable, what that word means for the male. Three things that we covered: to be before. This word comparable is recognition of the physical position of the wife. This is from the male's perspective. To be before, meaning that the wife is in front of, she occupies a position of attention that a husband must give her. Whether she is facing you or her back is towards you or against you, she is in front of you. That word also means opposite, meaning that the wife is in front of you, but at a distance. She must be given space to be who she is. Very critical. Husband have that responsibility to make sure that the wife is given space to be who she is, to develop her interests, to develop her potential, and to provide the resources to make that possible. And it also means to be nearby, meaning that the wife is beside you, right beside you. She must be given that position of honor always. And again, the man's role is to enable the avoidance of loneliness. Enable the avoidance of loneliness. And we want to continue with this word comparable, because we haven't looked at this word from the woman's perspective. God gave Adam the overall title of head, and he gave Eve the overall title of helper. Again, before delving into these roles, which we'll do in part seven, I want to talk about this word comparability from the woman's perspective. I think that today, a lack of understanding this truth by men and women has caused a tremendous amount of pain and suffering across the earth. This one word is critical, very critical. It is the nature of men or males, but not exclusively, to want to dominate. That is a part of who we are. You know, even though, as we have covered in part four, God says that mankind should have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that creeps on the earth, that dominance or domineering that God gave man and woman did not include domination over each other in marriage. It just didn't. It does not. We covered comparability from the husband's perspective by looking at the terms before, opposite, and nearby. But what does this word comparable mean to the wife from the wife's perspective? What does it mean? What would God have women to understand about themselves from this powerful word comparable? And what would God have men to understand about this word from the woman's perspective? Let's begin over in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. Go with me over to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. Here in Genesis chapter 2, and in verse 18 it says, "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him.'" Helper is a title for the woman, just like head is a title for the man, because it states over in Ephesians 5, verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body." We're going to deal with those titles, head and helper, as we move forward. But Christ says here, "I will make a helper comparable to him." Comparable to him. Comparable is the role. Comparable is the work or the action or the identifying characteristic designed by God into the woman. She is to be comparable, not just to her husband, but females are comparable to males. Females are comparable to males. What does this word mean? What does it mean? What does it mean from the woman's perspective? This is critical understanding. Critical understanding. This word comparable in the Hebrew is neged. N-E-G-E-D, neged. It means counterpart, before, opposite, nearby. A higher definition is this: what is conspicuous or in front, also means like no other, comparable to the other, to make known. To make known. I'm going to read two lengthy paragraphs from the Theological Word Book of the Old Testament. Now, this may seem rather technical, but as I read through these definitions and explanations of the Hebrew word negeg, keep in mind that this is the same word that God used to describe not just Eve's role, but how Eve should think about herself. Not just the roles, but this word describes how Eve should think about herself and how Adam should think about Eve. What is said is that this description of Eve, this mindset of Eve, this God-given characteristic of Eve has been lost, and as a result, its absence has become a source of strong division between men and women. We will review what happened to cause that to be the case. But first, this word, neged. Again, this is out of the Theological Word Book of the Old Testament. Quote, says this root basically denotes, quote, "to place a matter high, conspicuous before a person." The Arabic negada means to be conspicuous. And the noun negane means high land. Usually the matter was previously unknown or unknowable to the object. Previously unknown or unknowable to the object. Adam was out doing his work. He thought everything that he needed to know was before him until God raised up something in front of him that previously was unknown and also unknowable. God had to reveal Eve to Adam. He wasn't going to discover her on his own. He wasn't going to discover likely the need on his own. It was God who looked down from heaven and says, that man needs help. He needs a helper. Eve being comparable is not low, minor, insignificant, inconsequential, a second-class citizen, a lower specimen, lesser of importance, invisible, in the background, etc., etc. The woman is placed high, visible, and noticeable. That's what this word means. What God would create would be placed high, visible, and noticeable. Her presence and role were previously unknown to Adam, but God makes her position and her role known. Known. Let's continue reading here in the theological word book. It says, theologically, the verb is used of both God's and man's revealing. God brought things into men's attention, revealed them directly. He did so through dreams, through prophecies, through prophets. Such declarations being of divine origin, they carry divine authority. It says here what God created would be of divine origin, and it would also carry with it divine authority. Now, we may not think of our wives or of Eve as having divine authority, but because her role was authorized by God, what she is charged to do comes with God's divine authorization. Her role as woman comes with God's divine authorization. It's very important for our wives to know that, to understand that, because society has erased that. We may not think of our wives from that perspective. Continue reading. It says, a prophet declared the divine purpose and judgment. Indeed, whatever the mouth of the Lord declared. Other spokesmen bore an authority derived from the covenantal revelation, i.e. priests and elders, fathers, and other leaders. It is the responsibility and privilege of all men to make God's excellencies prominent before the Old Testament church and before the world. Not only does comparable mean high and valued, it also means that God has revealed it. God has revealed it. God revealed woman. The type of husband you are should be revealed by the type of wife you have. Let me repeat that. The type of husband you are should be revealed by the type of wife you have. You know, my coworkers should be thinking, I can't wait to meet his wife because he is an incredible, faithful, diligent, honest, devoted man who holds his wife in highest esteem. That's how my coworkers should think about my wife, who they don't know. Think about that. You know, the opposite is true as well. A wife's friends should be thinking, I can't wait to meet her husband because she is an incredible woman. The first time that my wife had to meet one of my top executives, the last top executive I had before I left my previous employer, it was actually at a retirement celebration. We were at a baseball game. And everyone on my staff, everyone in the company, who, you know, they never had met my wife. I was in California. That's where my main office was. We lived on the East Coast. I talked about her all the time. They all knew her name. My boss had never met her, and here we are at the baseball game, and he couldn't stop looking down. That's her? That's who he'd been talking about? I mean, the whole time, he was just gazing down. Because now she's revealed. I heard of her, heard you talk about her. That's her? That is how it should be. No, the woman that God created should be of divine origin. Divine origin. Origin, just as Adam was and would carry divine authority, the woman carries that divine authority as well. She would have the additional role of making the excellencies of God prominent. The excellencies of God prominent. Right? If after me speaking all of these things about my wife, suddenly someone came in that didn't match that, then suddenly I'm a fraud. The excellencies of God's prominence should be revealed through our wives. You see, the word comparable and what we studied last time regarding goodness are similar to one another. Because of her goodness and comparability, she is also the one who is more capable of demonstrating the excellencies of God and making it conspicuous, not inconspicuous. How a woman carries herself. She's in the front. She's out there. She's going to be watched. That's just the reality of life. And her responsibility is to make the excellencies of God visible, to reveal them. Now, based on statistics provided by the Pew Research Institute in their Religion Landscape Survey on Gender Composition, in most every category having to do with religious practices and beliefs in God, women outpaced men. Again, the supposition that I'm bringing out to you is that women have this responsibility of displaying the prominence of God. The Pew Institute, in their survey that they've done, their survey of many different beliefs across the world, pulls out the fact that women outpace men when it comes to religion. There are certainly some religions where males are dominant. For instance, the Muslim religion. Muslim religion, 65% of them are men. Hindu, 62% of them are men. Unaffiliated, 57% are men. Orthodox Christian, 56% are men. Jewish, 52% are men. Buddhist, 51% are men. But when the survey asked the question whether or not belief in God and religion is very important, that was a survey. They surveyed on questions having to do with belief in God and religion as very important. Women outpaced men in every category surveyed except two. And this is across the world. For instance, let me go through these. Belief in God. Belief in God. Is belief in God very important? 69% of the women said yes. 57% of the men said yes. 69% of the women said yes. Belief in God is very important. 57% of the men said yes. Importance of religion in one's life. 59% of the women says yes. 41% of the men. Attendance at religious services. 40% of the women said yes. Very important. 31% of the men said yes. Frequency of prayer. Very important. 64% of the women said yes. 46% of the men. Scriptural study and religious education. 27% of the women said, yes, that's very important. 21% of the men. Frequency of meditation. 43% of the women said, yes. 37% of the men. Spiritual peace and well-being being very important. 64% of the women said yes, 53% of the men. A source of guidance on right and wrong. A source of guidance on right and wrong. 31% of the women said yes. 35% of the men said yes. Absolute standards of right and wrong. The men said, that's very important. That's one of the questions where they outpaced the women. Why? Men's nature. Dominance. Just who we are. Wonder about the universe. Is wonder about the universe very important? 45% of the women said yes. 46% of the men said yes. Wonders about the universe. Men may think about the universe a lot more than women do. Couple others here. Frequency reading scripture. 40% of the women said, yes, that's very important. 30% of the men said yes. Interpreting scripture. 34% of the women said yes, 27% of the men. Belief in heaven. 76% of the women said that's very important. 67% of the men. Belief in hell. 59% of the women. 56% of the men. You see, wives, you have a critical role within the family and within society. This obscure word, negeg, makes that clear. It makes it clear. To say that the woman is the spiritual guide or the spiritual inspiration for the family would not be an underestimate. That would not be understated. God has placed within women that knack, that role, that character to say goodness is important and God is important. Not only does scripture bear that out, but statistics do as well. You need to know that. Don't allow yourself to say, well, in order for me to feel important, I need to become more like men. No, let men do their thing, have their role. Your role is different. Your role is different. If wives and women fail to recognize their comparability and goodness as her God-given role, and men are unaware and believe that no matter what, as the head of the house, they will dictate and demand how everything operates within the home, is it any wonder the degree of disagreement and discord that is often present? It's often present. I know that this position that I'm taking here, this teaching that I'm taking here, can be challenged by men. I've already received some challenges from men. I understand that. But all I ask all of us to do is to humbly look at what God's word says. This is what God's word says. I know that it is not traditionally what we have been taught or what society teaches, but this is what God's word says. This is what the word means. This is the role when God says, I will make a helper comparable to him. This is what the word means. Again, these are characteristics. These are roles, ladies, that God has given you, whether you decide to be married or not. Regarding the excellencies of prominence, the theological word book continues. Excellencies of prominence. It says such an act constituted praise and thanksgiving and could be done in a song. God's greatest work, the sovereign redemption of his people and the declaration of justification by the instrument of faith, is to be declared to all nations. Divine glory and righteousness are made known and brought into prominence by the visible creation. God's glory was brought into prominence by the visible creation. God taunts unbelievers, challenging them to have their no gods reveal even dim past or distant future. Jehovah is the only eternally existent, omniscient God who had declared and does declare and accomplish his sovereign will. He reveals to man what he wants to be known and obeyed. Therefore, rebellious man is inexcusable. God has provided Adam a helper that will guide him spiritually during his life, while he is head down in his efforts to tend, to keep, and to obey. This word comparability says there needs to be goodness and there needs to be God. And I'm not going to leave you without an excuse. And I'm going to provide you a helper to guide you in your relationship with me. Yes, you're the head. You're even the head spiritually. But you need help. You need this guidance that I'm going to provide to you. And here it is, prominent before you. You see, if I love my wife as Christ loves the church, then I must realize that my wife represents the church. Scripture says, I am to love my wife as Christ loves the church. Therefore, my wife represents the church. The church is the tool for which the relationship with God is honored, made more perfect for me and my family. In like manner, the wife is a tool that God gave Adam to hone and to make perfect his and their relationship with God. That is what Eve was to fulfill, the role of goodness and fulfill the place of loneliness and comparability. To help the man keep his eyes focused on God. So then when you hear men say or intimate that because they are the head, they have the right to dominate and abuse their wives, we should be blown away in disgust because of God's word. She represents the church. It's a spiritual role that she has, the church. Continue reading here in the Theological Word Book of the Old Testament. This has to do with prominently before. This word comparable means prominently before, the place of the woman, the wife. It says the unique thrust of this proposition illuminates in many scriptures, many passages. Our word occurs in covenantal context. God's law was to be read before Israel, in front of everyone. Man's public covenants were enunciated and fulfilled openly, and that the entire community could witness the act. Public vowing embraces open declaration of God's word and praise and hoping in his name. God's word and attesting miracles were performed openly and prominently before Israel. There was no excuse for unbelief. The same holds true for his acts of providence. The word also occurs in legal context. Samuel calls on the people before God as a witness to his steadfastness. God's omniscient judge clearly attests man's sins, his desire, and all his ways. The Messiah has always set before him, vindicated and rewarded. The preposition occurs in the compound legneg, to set before one, as that which determines one's conduct. God had provided Adam with this woman in front of him, comparable, to help him remind him of God. And if women abandon that role, she abandons that role, the family collapses spiritually. Collapses spiritually. Now, we have missed out as human beings on this incredible relationship between man and woman that God designed from creation. Wives and women in general are the spiritual gift of God to guide us towards goodness, the goodness of God, and she is on display prominently within the family and in the world. Prominently. These roles were placed into men and women irrespective of them becoming husbands and wives. These are roles that all of us should have. The design of God was for them to be husband and wife because God desires godly offspring. It was through this relationship that God would expand his family as kings and priests in his family, expanding the God family as spirit beings to be created in his image, in his likeness, and in the future after the God kind. The formula is divine. He needed to make sure that Adam, the family unit, had a gauge of goodness, had a gauge of righteousness, had a gauge of holiness, of who God is on a daily basis. And those are those characteristics that God placed within our wives. For a wife to assume her role as helper comparable to him requires great love and humility on her part. For a husband to accept his role as head and to recognize the wife's role as comparable, a prominent spiritual guide and help to him, requires tremendous love and humility on his part. A woman cannot be successful in fulfilling her role as a spiritual guide without the male fulfilling his role to be an enabler. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." This turns what generally the world has upside down. It puts it the way it should be. You know, there is a reason that Christ declares that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loves the church. The reason is that our wives are supposed to be representatives of the church, the spiritual organization of God that has been set before us. When you think about all of those circumstances that we have read, all of those characteristics that we have read about, all of those roles that we have read about, even everything that we've read about here in the theological word book of the Old Testament, the church is identified in those characteristics. It is prominent. It's a place. It's out there. It's visible. It's where you go for spiritual direction and help and guidance. She was created to be the spiritual stabilizing force of the family and society. Just look at the news. Whatever the catastrophe is around the world, who are the ones who are gathering the children? Who are the ones who are protecting the family? Who are the ones that are saying this is not right? I don't care whose side you're on. It's our wives. Men's DNA, how we are made up to tend to keep, give me a gun, I'll solve the problem. Wives, there's a better way. Can't we sit down? Can't we talk? Can't we come up with some other solution? A little bit of homework. A little bit of homework. Please, please read Proverbs 31, 10 to 31. Proverbs 31, 10 to 31. Proverbs 31, 10 to 31 is all about this word comparable to him. That's what it's all about. This concept, this truth of comparability that we are reading here in Genesis goes all the way through the Bible if we have the eyes to see. In Proverbs 31, 10 to 31, that's what the word is about. Spiritual guide. Not the head, but the spiritual guide of the family. Let me read you a couple things here to make the point. Proverbs 31, 10 to 12 says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far more than rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain." That's exactly what we've been talking about. One of the woman's role, the prosperity of the family. Who enables that? The husband. He safely trusts her. If he doesn't safely trust her, she's not going to be able to fulfill her role. And of course, where we're talking about men or women, you have to show thyself trustworthy. It says, she does him good, not evil, all the days of his life. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Her husband is known. Remember what we said? The reputation of the wife is a reflection of the husband. The reputation of the husband is a reflection of the wife. Her husband is known. Her husband is known. He's at the gate. He's making judgments. He's sitting in a place of law and decision making. She's out doing all the things that you'll read about there in Proverbs 31. Businesswoman, smart, taking care of business, doing all the things she needs to do. And guess what? Her husband is known because she is prominently representing him. The goodness that should be there. Verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also calls her blessed. And he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hand and let her own works praise her in the gates. Critically important statement there. This is comparability. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. We have to enable that. Husband's responsibility is to enable that. Wife's role is to demonstrate the goodness of God in the gates through her works, her own works. Therefore, wives and women, you must think of yourselves as individuals who should dedicate themselves to learning God's law and how to carry out God's law in your life. If married, your role is to serve as a spiritual guide to your husband, a role that God has created you to fulfill. Not spiritual head, spiritual guide. A spiritual guide is often so much more important than, quote unquote, a spiritual head. Anyone who depends on their staff to direct them in business recognizes that. The boss comes in, he doesn't know a thing. He can execute. But where to go, what to do, when to do it, relies on the help. Relies on the guidance of others. It is a role that God has created you to fulfill. If not married, your role is to exemplify your comparability in your daily life activities. You need to represent God. You need to represent God's goodness, the intelligence of God, the grace of God in everything that you do in life. So where are we now at this point? Where are we now? Again, Genesis 2, verse 18. We've covered a lot of area here. We've covered this point of comparability of the wife. Where are we now? Genesis 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him. Powerful word. A helper, a spiritual guide that he needs. It's not good. He needs spiritual guidance. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called them, each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. There wasn't found anybody that could be a spiritual guide to him. When he had questions about what was the right thing to do, the timing to do things, there was no one to help him. From Adam's perspective, comparable is to help her to be before him, opposite him, and nearby, to keep her close. From Eve's perspective, comparable is the highly valued spiritual guide for Adam to also bring goodness into the house, to bring goodness into the family, to keep God within the family, and to eliminate loneliness. Genesis 2, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "Now this is bone of my bones." Again, the Young's Literal Translation says, "This is the right step. I need help. Now I have somebody that can help me, that can help me take the right step, the next step. She's bone of my bone. She's flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman because she was taken out of man." Adam and Eve are not husband and wife yet. Adam and Eve are what I'm calling friends. They're not husband and wife yet. They're friends. They haven't consummated the marriage. God has not yet declared them husband and wife. He's about to. But right now, they're friends. They're friends. Love, friendship, love. Even though Adam and Eve had no other options for companionship other than each other, their starting point is what God had designed and intended for all mankind. They are beginning as friends with an incredible foundation for success. Teenagers, young adults, adults, the unmarried, if you begin your friendship with the opposite sex, with the understanding about the roles of the male and the female, you are beginning with a perspective that aligns with what God intended from creation. You need to be more than just friends. It requires you to be more than friends. You have to have the guidance. You have to understand what the roles are. All of that has to come into play. You must understand your roles are designed and authorized by God. It is the combination that can bring about success in marriage. And to the married, this is radically different perspective possibly than, again, what we have been taught or understood in society, or through religion in general. But it is God's word. It's the truth. Recognizing and honoring the roles of the man and the woman are at the foundation for true friendship and lasting, happy marriages. Marriage is a divine institution, and there are structures that God put in place to help it to remain divine. Divine. God says, "I want this to remain a divine institution. So I'm going to place in front of Adam someone that has that role of goodness to keep things divine." Because otherwise he needed help. He needed help. You know, men are visual. We know that. Society knows that. Satan knows that. The $97 billion pornography industry knows that. But visual attributes are not what is most important. The man looking for a wife ought to focus his attention on fulfilling his role as a man and understanding the roles of the woman from creation. A lady or woman who is looking for a husband must focus on her roles and the roles of the man from creation. Who is most vulnerable to the impact of the roles not being fulfilled? Who's most vulnerable when this breaks down? Look at society. It's the women. It's the women. That is reality. Therefore, I implore our ladies, before taking your conceptual 25 brass clasp, right? We went through the whole barrette, those two pieces of material. One is a little bit larger, the male, the one a little bit smaller, the female. 50 bronze clasps. connecting those two together. You have 25, he has 25. Before taking your conceptual 25 brass rings and clasping them to a male hoberet to be one with, ask yourself the following questions. Now, if you're already hooked, you're hooked. We'll get to that as we move forward. How to address the fact that you're hooked. And there are things that need to be worked out. But if you have those 25 brass and you're looking to clasp them to another husband, to a husband, ask yourself the following questions. Does he see you as an equal in dominion over the physical creation with intelligence and capability? Does he understand that you are made by God to be comparable to him? Does he understand what it means to be comparable, both in his roles and in your role? Are you both willing to be humble and under all the roles from creation as outlined by God? Are you committed to endeavoring to honor your roles and live by them? And are you friends? And are you friends? Males, men, before taking your conceptual 25 brass rings and clasping them to a female hoberet to become one, ask yourself the following questions. Do you see her as your equal in dominion over the physical creation with intelligence and capability? Does she understand your role as a man? Do you understand what it means to be comparable? Do you recognize your role to be an enabler of her goodness? Are you able and willing to be humble under all of the roles from creation as outlined by God? Is she committed to endeavoring to honor your roles and to live by them? And are you committed to do the same? And are you true friends? Are you true friends? You know, there are other questions to be asked specifically related to head and helper. We'll cover some of those other. These aren't all the questions. Because once you're married, things do change. Now you connect. Now he is not only your friend, he's the head. And she's not only your friend, she's your helper. There are additional questions to ask. But before taking your 25 rings and clasping it to him, his 25 rings, you need to ask some questions. You need to ask these questions. At this point, we have two individual hoberets, two friends who decide to become one hoberet. Isn't what God designed from creation beautiful? It's romantic, it's wonderful, it's glorious. The foundation is set for a splendid, successful, happy marriage of joy in the Garden of Eden. Now, before I move on to migrating them from friends to husbands, as detailed in Genesis 2, verse 24 to 25, I need to make a statement with regard to arranged marriages. Arranged marriages. I've had a lot of experience with individuals who are the result of their marriage, the result of an arranged marriage. I know that in many cultures, the selection of the spouse is not left up to the individual, but is rather a decision of the parents involved. In other cultures, a professional matchmaker may be used to find a spouse for a young person. This practice remains common in many regions of the country, of the world, notably South Asia, Southeast Asia, the Middle East, North Africa, Sub-Saharan Africa, and the Caucasus. You know, a very close friend of mine, an executive, was called home by his father to return from the United States because a wife had been chosen for him. Executive, come home. We've chosen a wife for you. When he arrived home, he was introduced to her parents and told that his wife-to-be was upstairs. He went upstairs and introduced himself. They sat and talked about next steps. Thankfully, as they both said, at least we were physically attracted to each other, because all of the arrangements and the decisions for them to be married had already been made by their parents, not long after they were married. They both were highly successful professionals in technology, both in the executive management level. And now, today, they have two beautiful children, a very happy marriage from all that I can tell and all that they have said. A wonderful marriage. We know that there are many examples of arranged marriages throughout Scripture, and one could say that Adam and Eve's marriage was an arranged marriage. We also know throughout history and throughout the world, there are arranged marriages that are catastrophic and horrible. I don't think arranged marriages are what God intended, although I don't believe that arranged marriages are a sin by any means. I don't believe that they are what God has intended based on Genesis 2, verse 24. Let's continue reading. Genesis 2, verse 24. I mentioned that I'm going to go a little bit over time. Genesis 2, verse 24 says, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife." You know, I'll have to do a deeper study than I have actually done on this concept, but the Hebrew word here means to leave behind. Leave behind. A man shall leave behind his father and mother. It could be my Western way of thinking that if my parents made the decision for me of whom I'm to marry without my consent or agreement, I'm not sure if I am leaving behind my mother and father. Rather, I'm taking them with me. It's their decision. I didn't make the decision. They have culpability in this decision. I don't think it's consistent with what Scripture says. What Scripture says. However, if you are in a marriage as a result of an arranged marriage, the same commitments to the roles apply. They still apply. They absolutely still apply. Making the joint decision and commitment to move a relationship from friendship to marriage takes on a higher level of responsibility. The roles you have while single friends are raised to an additional height because marriage is now holy. If you marry thinking that we're just going to be friends and just plow along as friends, trouble. You have to understand the roles because marriage is holy in the sight of God. Again, let's continue reading here in Genesis 2, verse 24. "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife." That phrase, "be joined," means to cling to his wife. He is to take his 25 rings and hook them to her. She is to take her 25 rings and hook them to him. He is to cling to his wife. "They shall become one flesh." 50 brass clasps of that whole beret holding them together. "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." That is God's design from creation. A man was to leave his father and mother with the capabilities and desire to tend, to keep, and to be obedient to God's law. And if he were to marry, he should understand his roles and her roles and be willing to tend to her, to keep her, to be obedient to God's law, and to cling to her. And when he found that friend and she found him, and she saw that he was willing to fulfill his role as husband, and she was willing to fulfill her role as wife, they were to marry each other, become one hoberet, joined together, one to one to become one, period. Held together by 50 bronze clasps. They would now be together, away from their parents, and begin their own life of representing Christ and the church. That's what God said. Reason for marriage, you are to represent Christ and the church, and therefore bring forth godly offspring, because it's not about this physical life. It's about eternal life. And this is the process that I've chose to add spirit beings to my family. The beautiful Hoberet has been assembled. What happened? What went wrong? Just want to cover a little bit here as we wrap this up. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. What went wrong? It says here, Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning. That word cunning means crafty, shrewd, and subtle. Crafty, shrewd, and subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said to you that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? You know, there are all sorts of reasons and suppositions that I have given over the years, and many others have as well, as to why Satan approached Eve instead of approaching Adam. This is my supposition in the context of this marriage series. Given that it is clear in Scripture that the wife represents the church. Now, why did Satan go after Eve? Given that it is clear in Scripture that the wife represents the church, the responsibility through which spiritual understanding would be maintained within the relationship, within the family, and that Eve was given the primary characteristic of goodness, as well as the role of spiritual guide, not spiritual head, but spiritual guide to the family, it is not surprising that Satan, the most cunning, crafty, and subtle creature that God had created, would go after her. Now, many have said, including me, an error, I believe an absolute error, many have said, including me, that Satan went after Eve because she was the weakest of the sexes. That's not true. Physically weakness, Satan doesn't care about physical weakness. And Eve was not intellectually weaker in any way, shape, or form. I believe that Satan understood what God had created in Eve and knew that if he could deceive her, Adam would fall in line. I think he recognized that she was the one that God had created that was closer to him spiritually. The Pew Research bears that out. Scripture bears that out with the word comparable. If he could get her to fall, he, even as the head, is going to follow. He's going to fall. Because God had given Eve the responsibility, the role, and the character of goodness and spiritual guidance. If Adam, having been deceived, had come to Eve to help tell her, eat this fruit that God had forbidden, I believe Eve would have turned to him and said, what? Hey, eat this fruit. What? Where'd that come from? Well, it came from the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Are you crazy? You told me and God told me that we're not supposed to eat that fruit, Adam. Go dig a tree somewhere. Go plant some flowers. But she was attacked by the most cunning, subtle being that God had created, and he knew what he was doing. And I believe he came after her and came after her and changed the story. And all we have here is a summary. I believe, based on the understanding of the roles of Eve, that Eve would have been more likely to reject Adam's proposal. But if Eve came to Adam, I think Satan understood this. If Eve came to Adam after having been convinced that this fruit was okay to eat, with the added dimension of how Adam looked to Eve as being in front of him, opposite him, nearby him, beside him, cunning Satan saw that a better chance of his devious, deceiving plan to be successful would be to go through her to get to him. I don't believe he thought the other way was going to work. based on the definition in Scripture, and based on how men are built differently up here than women. Genesis 3, verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." She knew God's commandments. Adam had told her, God had told her, but she has been for some period of time, I believe, under the pressure of Satan with cunning convincing. Verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die, for God knows that the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." There are seven lies in verse 4. And I may include that as a part of the series. Seven lies in verse 4 alone that Satan told Eve. Seven lies. Verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took its fruit and ate. Desirable to make one wise. She probably, I believe, looked at her husband and realized he is wise. He's able to make these decisions. He's able to take in data, information, say this is what we ought to do, or that is what we ought to do. She didn't recognize that she, as a helper, that was her role, to provide him with information, to provide him with guidance so that he can make those decisions. Let him make those decisions. He's the head. But fulfill your role. Satan had convinced her that, no, you can do both of these roles. You can do both of these roles. She abandoned her role as the spiritual guide that she had been given underneath of God's direction. So she gave to her husband with her, and he ate. He abandoned his role as spiritual head under God's direction. Verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew, both of them knew that they were naked. And both of them sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Make this big deal about, no, the man is smarter than the woman, or the woman's. No, look here. They did the exact same thing. Verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Some of those bronze clasps of the hoberet has fallen off, and others are in jeopardy. They had 25 clasps. Hers hooked to him. He had 25 clasps hooked to her. Some of those clasps are spiritual clasps directly having to do with your relationship to God Almighty. Your roles to God Almighty. Some of those bronze clasps fell off. And when they fell off, they left holes. And they left holes at the most critical place within the marriage, where the two of them are joined together. You see, in life, if those 50 clasps are hooked in there together, my 25 and her 25, and we hook together, we can deal with holes all over the place. We can deal with cancer. We can deal with dementia. We can deal with sickness. We can deal with blindness. We can deal with all sorts of things, loss of job, down economy, losing homes. If those 50 clasps are in place, we can deal with holes everywhere else. Where can you not afford to have holes? Where the two of you are joined together. The roles and responsibilities, those 25 clasps that you have and the 25 that he has, those 50 bronze clasps that makes you one. When those break off, when those drop to the floor, holes are left at the most critical place within a relationship, which is between the two of you. Instead of relying on God and the husband relying on the wife, now they're relying on the knowledge of good and evil. holes have appeared in the whole barrette at the most critical place, the place where the two of them were joined. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Where do we go from here? Because that, unfortunately, is where so many of us are, where so many of us have been. Those bronze clasps have dropped. Those bronze clasps have come loose. We have repairs that we need to make. What a tragedy. Next time, marriage part 7. Love, friendship, love, marriage in the middle. We're at the marriage state now. Marriage in the middle. We're going to start dealing with marriage. We're going to start dealing with some of the difficult challenges that come up in marriage. We're going to start dealing with the holes that have appeared in marriage and see what the Bible has to say about repairing the whole barrette. Then we'll get to love, death, love. Next time, the subtitle of our series is Broken Bronze Clasp. Broken Bronze Clasp. Marriage Part 7, Love, Friendship, Love. Marriage in the Middle, Love, Death, Love. Broken Bronze Clasp. Next time, Part 7.